Well, good morning. It's good to see you all. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 21. And I'd like to ask those that are able to please stand as I read from God's Word. Give you a long, good stretch in those muscles this morning. Next, we may do jumping jacks. Who knows? Luke 17, 11 through 21 says, While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Stand up and go, your faith has made you well. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, Look, here it is, or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the reading of your word. And God, we ask and pray, Lord, that you would teach us, encourage us, and motivate us, Lord, to always come to you with a thankful heart for all that you have done for us. God, you are great and mighty and worthy of all praise. And we ask, Father, this morning that you would just speak your word to us from heaven through your Holy Spirit. And God, as I preach this message, it's all you and none of me. And we thank you, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to think about this morning, about our attitude. Are we truly, truly thankful for what Jesus has done for us? Really, I want you to get everything else out of your mind today. I don't want you to think about what you're going to do this afternoon. I don't want you to think about how long the sermon's going to be this morning. I don't want you to think about what happened yesterday or what's going to go on tomorrow. All I want you to do this morning is I want you to think about Jesus. I want you to think about your life and your heart. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you know your life has been radically changed. You know that things have been turned completely around. You have been forgiven of all of your sin. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. God has created a home for you in heaven. And I want you to think about that right now. That is the most important blessing. That's the greatest blessing you and I could have ever received. And if we get nothing else in this world, that one thing should be enough to cause you a lifetime of joy and pure bliss and excitement. It should cause you to praise God daily. It should cause us to have a different outlook on our life and our future. It should cause us to speak differently to treat others differently. It should cause us to pray more. It should cause us to witness more, because our life is not what it once was. Now, I want you to think about who you were before Christ. And now I want you, as you think about that, I want you to put that old person back in the background, because that one no longer lives. There's a new creature created inside of you by the shed blood of Jesus. A cleaned vessel. God has forgiven you of your sins because of the blood of Jesus. So I want you to think about that this morning, and I want you to think about these 10 lepers. 10 lepers who had a disease called leprosy, and I'm not going to get too descriptive with it, but I'll tell you this, it caused open sores, body parts to be missing. It was a very deadly and sickening disease. And leprosy is still rampant around the world today. But anyway, there's 10 lepers who, and let me say this, if you've read in the Bible, anybody that had leprosy, I want you to know this, they were not allowed to be a part of a town or a group of people. They were cast out. They lived amongst themselves, and they had to live with the festering boils and the grossness of how they looked. This unclean, they were called unclean. People rejected them. They despised them and put them away, and nobody would get near them. And we just read in the Bible where the 10 lepers stood off afar from Jesus, and they cried out to him and they said, "Lord, have mercy on us." Now, do you remember who else I preached about last week that said, "Lord, have mercy on me"? Blind Bartimaeus, because he was blind and he got his sight restored. So these 10 lepers are crying out to Jesus because of their infirmity. And I want you to stop and think for a moment. When you were lost, when you were living in sin before Christ, do you know that you were infected with a disease? You were infected with a disease called sin. It's dirty. It's disgusting. It is also infectious. And sin separated you from the love of God. Sin separated you from that holy city. You were not a part of God's family at that time. The blessings of the Lord were not upon your life. We were all an outcast at one time. Now, back when people had leprosy, nobody would go to them and offer them anything. But in your sinful life, Jesus Christ came and offered His life on the cross so that you and I could be made clean and that we could be accepted into His royal family. And I want you to know this. When Jesus told the 10 lepers to go and show themselves to the priest, and as they headed off, this is what's amazing. Jesus didn't touch them. Jesus didn't do anything else. Only thing He said was, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they started to go on, their faith made them whole. And as they headed on to go show themselves to the priest, I want you to realize this. One person, one of these lepers, I'm sure looked at himself and he's seeing what Christ Jesus did for him, and it caused him to stop. And he realized, "I've been made whole again." And the Bible says that he turned and he ran back to Jesus and he fell at His feet and he worshiped him. Now, Jesus says, well, weren't there 10 of you? Where's the other nine? And have you ever noticed that? You could get a group of 10 people to get saved. And you know what a lot of saved people would do? They'll go on and they'll live their life and they won't really come back to the Lord and truly be thankful. But you will have people that when they, at the time of salvation, they realize that their life has been made brand new. They realize they are no longer a slave to sin, that their heart has been changed, and there are those people who will come back to Jesus and they will bow at His feet. And that's what you and I as Christian people should do daily. Not just when we think about it, not when we're in trouble, not when life is getting hard, but in good times and in bad times, we should be coming to Jesus quite often, and we should be falling on our face before the Lord and thanking God for what He did by sending His Son to die for us. We should always be truly thankful to Jesus that He gave His life on Calvary's cross, shedding His blood. The Son of God should never have had to go through that, but because of His love for you and I, He gave us a very valuable gift, and we ought to treasure that gift. Has somebody ever given you something, somebody that you really adored? Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a sibling or a friend or a co-worker, whatever. But has somebody ever given you a gift that you knew that gift was very valued to them, but because they loved you so much, they gave you a gift? Do you remember what it did to you? Do you remember the feeling you got? Maybe you showed some tears. There was some excitement. But you know what you did? You treasured what you had. How many of us this morning are treasuring Jesus? Because He's the greatest gift we've ever received. I was talking to my grandson last night. We were having the grandfather to grandson discussion, and he's telling me about where he's wanting to go off to school and wanting to make all this money and all this stuff, and he's wanting to be an underwater welder. Well, that's a dangerous profession right there in itself. It really is. But I've also had this talk too with many other people in life. Money's not everything. You could have 25 cents in your pocket and not have a lot of money. But I tell you what, you got Jesus in your heart, you're rich. You've got all the valued treasure you would ever need right there. And I want you to picture this one cleansed leper who come back to worship Jesus. The thankfulness in his heart. And I guarantee you, after he left the presence of Jesus, and it said he was a Samaritan. Well, we all know about the Samaritan woman at the well and what Jesus did for her. See, Jesus didn't just accept certain people. Jesus accepted everybody from every walk of life. Now, if Jesus could take a woman who had been in such adulterous relationships, and if he could take her life and use it, turn it around, then he could do anything for anybody. I always wondered, because we don't read any more about it, but I always wonder what happened to the other nine who were cleansed. What was their life like later? Well, I guarantee you that this one who was cleansed, that came back, went and started telling everybody else what happened to him, and he started to share from his heart. I could just picture him now. Oh, I saw the Son of God. Let me say this. I don't know what words he said. This is just kind of from my brain. And if you know what goes on in this brain, hey. But imagine that cleansed leper saying, I saw the Son of God. And the encounter that I had with him. What a great moment. My life has been forever changed. And I guarantee you, he went all over the place. And I guarantee you, he witnessed to people about the change in his life. And people who knew he was a leper. Can you imagine? I mean, I've seen pictures of lepers. I have. And it's you don't recognize them. But could you imagine how good looking that guy was? I bet he was a strapping, handsome fella. I bet he was good looking. He got made whole again. I bet his own family didn't even recognize him when they saw him. People who knew. So see, before Christ, people knew you one way. And when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, people ought to know you a whole different way. You ought to look different. You ought to act different. You ought to talk different. You should live life joyfully. I've listened to some people say, well, I didn't think that so-and-so would ever get saved. They was the most rottenest to the core person. But boy, look at them now. They go to church. They serve the Lord. Every time the doors are open, they're there. My buddy Donnie Colson. I love that man. He's 80, I think he's 86 or 87 now, still preaching the gospel. But before that, he was a drunkard. He was mean. He was evil. They called him Snake. That he would deceive people and use people. And he would do whatever, and an angry person. I even think he had moments he had other things evil going on in his head. I won't get into those, but what he shared with me. But anyway, Donnie Colson told me one night he was going past this church and he'd been drinking. And he said, as he went by this church, he said he heard music and he heard the singing. And he said something just started to draw him into that church. Now, his mama was a good Christian woman, and she had quite a few boys. And Donnie has got a twin brother, and they're all from Heron, Illinois. But Donnie said his mama prayed for all her boys all the time. And his mama, he said, really prayed hard for him. But he went into that church house knowing that his mama had been praying for him. And he knew that it was only the power of God that was calling him and leading him into that church service. And as he went into that church, he sat down on a pew. And he said he began to weep because he got a glimpse of his life. And where he was headed, and he knew things had to be different. And he said, when the preacher gave the invitation, he said he got up. He'd been white. You heard the term white knuckling the pew. Anybody ever heard that term? That's where you grip the pew in front of you when you're under conviction and you grab on for dear life because you don't want to go because you're afraid what others might think or say about you. But he white knuckled that pew, he said. And all of a sudden he let go and made his way down front and got down on his knees at that altar. And he said he gave his heart and his life to the Lord. And he told me, he said, boy, Brother Jim, he said, my life was turned completely around. He said, I was made so different. I didn't want another drop of alcohol. And he said, the love or the hate that I had toward people, he said it was turned into love. He said, I had a love for people. And he still has that same love. And he said this to me. He said, as I walked out of the church, he said, I was walking back down that aisle. And he said, it's almost like he could hear that old man that he once was sitting there in the pew going, take me back. Hey, this is who you really are. How many times the devil has told you that? This is who you really are. That's what you once were. See, the devil wants to distract and get your mind off of Christ. And he wants to make you believe false things. He wants to keep us all in defeat. But we have to know that what Jesus did inside of us, that was changed. That's permanent. We have got to quit agreeing with the voice of the enemy. When the enemy whispers to us, all we have to do is rebuke him. Submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee. The devil will not stick around if you sit around and start mentioning the name of Jesus. If you mention Jesus, if you're singing and praising, if you're thinking on the Word of God, fortify your minds with the Word of the Lord. If you're doing that, the devil's not going to stick around. And if you're living for God and you're keeping the Lord at the very front of everything in your heart and life, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be blessed. Yeah, you're going to have tough, difficult times. I face a lot of things daily. I think preachers really go through a lot. Doesn't make me any different, but hey, we all go through stuff. But there's a lot of things we all go through. And the devil's going to whisper. The devil's going to lie. He's going to try to pull you away. But you hold on to what God's given you. You were given power. I preached that a couple weeks back about the power that was given to us when Christ ascended into heaven and the Holy Spirit was given to us in the book of Acts in chapter 2, what I preached a few weeks back. That was a power given to us. And we are to exercise that power. We are supposed to live it. We are supposed to speak it. We are supposed to keep it alive inside of us. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they would have it how much? Abundantly. That's right. More abundantly. So if he came to give you life, you know, when you take NyQuil, you know you can only take it to the line. You can't go more than that. But with the Lord, what he gives you, when he gave you his power, he didn't tell you, well, we're going to take it to this line right here. He gave you all of it. The Lord gave you all of his power through Christ Jesus. But I still see people who have gotten saved. Oh, I sure am homesick for heaven. Oh, my poor wretched life. Oh, it's just terrible. They act like the Lord's never even been there. If Jesus said that he came to give us life, then it's time for us to start living it. That's why I always say, a lot of sermons, you'll get tired of hearing it. But you know what? Didn't you ever get tired of hearing things your parents said to you? Didn't you get tired of hearing a lot of that? But your parents would always say, you better listen, because one day it's going to do you a lot of good. I see. I was just thinking, Billy, when I saw you looking at Piper, I can't tell you how many times my dad looked at me, and my dad said, boy, you better listen. You better listen, boy. I'm glad I listened. I got a few knots on my head still back there from when I didn't listen. My dad had big fingers, and wow. My dad could make you see visions. With a thump in that church sitting in that church pew when I'd act up. But you know what? When we hear things over and over and over, it gets into our heart. And that's why I say, read the Word of the Lord. Read it, study it, meditate on it, pray, and live it. Because when you do, it will build you up. And it will equip you with everything that you need to make it through life. When When things get difficult, all you have to do is call out to Jesus. Jesus says, I am a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, I haven't even gotten into this message. I haven't even gotten in the outline yet. You guys got another half hour. No, I'm just kidding. But I want you to know this. I'll cover a couple things. Jesus cares about people that are far off. He does. Jesus cares about the prostitute. Jesus cares about the drug user. Jesus cares about the criminals. Jesus cares about the bank robbers. He cares about the poor. He cares about, I don't like to use those words, rich and poor. I'm talking about physical wealth. I don't like to use them words because I believe everybody's the same. Everybody's the same. You were all created in the likeness of God. We're all the same. And I tell you this, if Jesus cared about everybody, we should too. If we're not caring about people like we ought to, I think we better go back and start looking back and say, am I really saved? Because the Bible says that, you know, if we're in Christ, then we are a new creature. The old things are passed away. Everything became new. And we can say, now, and I hear people make this excuse too. Well, I'm a Christian. And then they'll say, but. Well, there ain't no I'm a Christian, but. You're a Christian, Christ-like. That's what Christian means, Christ-like. And to be Christ-like means you're walking in obedience to His commandments. I mean, do people can people get on your nerves? Oh, yeah. People can get on your nerves. That's when you have to think about the Apostle Paul when he asked the Lord to remove a thorn from his side. He didn't have an actual thorn in his side, but the Apostle Paul had people that were getting on his nerves. And the Apostle Paul was getting to a point where it was getting down on his last nerve, I'm sure. And he wanted the Lord to get these people away. Get them out of my life. And God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. He wasn't going to remove the problem. And get this, God may not remove the problem, but His grace is sufficient for you because He does care about you. So, if He cares for those that are far off in sin, we should too. When you ask Jesus for mercy, He heard you and He answered you. And there are people today who are crying out for mercy. And sometimes we can't hear their voice. See, a lot of people won't speak out or speak up when they're going through things. But God will give us the ability to see their heart and to hear them. And God will give us the knowledge to know when people are suffering. And He'll be able to connect us with these people. When I think of those lepers saying, Jesus, have mercy on us, I remember when I got at the foot of the cross, when I got saved, and I said, Jesus, have mercy on me. I'm a wretched sinner. I'm terrible. And only You can fix my life. A couple weeks ago, we was working on a puzzle, and it was only a 500-piece puzzle. And boy, I don't do puzzles. I can't get my mind to focus on all them pieces and parts. But I was working it. I was helping work it. And as the puzzle was going together, it was some birds. These big parrots sitting on these branches, tropical paradise, putting that thing together. And I realized something. We had one piece left, and there was a hole. And that puzzle was incomplete. And when we put that last piece in, boy, what a difference it made. And your life, and there's the lives of so many other people, there was one piece missing. But when Jesus took that place, He made everything complete, made it whole. And He made it right. So today, I want to ask you, are you going to the Lord daily? Are you thanking Him? Are you truly, truly grateful for what He's done? You know, there's a lot of people dying and going to hell left and right. You know, Sarah mentioned this morning the prayer request, and it does. It breaks my heart to hear stuff like that. I can't fathom somebody going through that, and I had a preacher friend of mine do that, and I just couldn't wrap my brain around it. But there's people hurting, and it's up to us to share that love with them. And the only way they're going to hear it is if we go to them. That was Jesus' commission to us. Go and tell the world about Jesus, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's our calling. And when we die and get to heaven, what are we going to hear the Lord say to us? And you know, I really think why we need to be thinking about this is because it's very real and serious. When you stand before the Lord, it's too late. It is. It's too late. Right now is the time to get saved. Not tomorrow, not 5 minutes. Right now is the moment of salvation. If you're not saved, now you might have come to church your whole life, and you might say, well, I'm okay. I got grandfathered in. No, there ain't no grandfathering in. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you haven't been saved, you ain't going to heaven. Now, if you made the motions, but your life ain't showing the fruit, and you ain't doing, and you ain't living like you ought to, well, that's between you and God. I ain't going to pass judgment on you. I am not, because that's not my place to do it. But I would be wondering, am I really going to go to heaven? I would be asking myself that.